The following original talk show is rated S. Secession content may be upsetting to listeners who chant USA! USA! After the New England Patriots score a touchdown, Regal Cinema moviegoers' discretion is advised.
Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Oh, boy, there is so much going on in hashtag the exceptional American Union. At times like this, it seems hard to even figure out where to start. As we know, the federal government is still in power in Washington, D.C., so we're here on the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. We're here until they're not there. And I recognize that may be pie in the sky. I'm going to get to this topic here in a little bit. But you know what? We've got to begin to think like the progressives. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a few moments. I'm glad you joined us. We're live here on the Premium Crusade Channel. We're grateful to those of you who are Founders Past members. You're the ones who make this Premium Channel work. Without you supporting what we're doing here, we wouldn't be having this right now. So I want to start off just by saying thanks. I want to get in the routine of being more grateful and thankful with a lot of things, you being part of that. And so I want to start off the shows going forward with remembering who got us here. And it is you, you loyal Founders Past members, founding brothers, founding fathers, crusaders. Goodness gracious, we just wouldn't be here without you. So thank you very much. And for those of you who have recently joined, thank you. Welcome on board. We're glad you're here with us. We've got a lot of work to do if we're going to truly, fulfill our mission, which is to restore the proper order by defending eternal transcendent truths always in all ways. And I love this mission statement because it captures what my first topic is out of the gate. We've got to change how we think strategically about the problems we face. I want to remind you, my website is markkreslins.com. You can email me through that website at mark@markkreslins.com. You can follow me over on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheMarkKreslinsShow. And then I'm over on Twitter at markkreslins. Real quick, though, I want to send off a little bit of good news to the folks out in California. Their drought that they have been suffering from there in California is just about over with all the rain they've gotten. Here in Oklahoma, this is how bizarre weather can be at times. It was 74 yesterday. Today, it's in the 30s. And one of the sayings that we have here in Oklahoma is if you want to experience winter, summer, fall, and spring, just wait till next week because we'll get them all. And that's kind of what this week has been. We've gone from high, warm temperatures where yesterday I was literally wearing short sleeve shirts to today is freezing, and we have an ice storm planned for tonight and into tomorrow. So we may actually get a real blasting here. So if I'm not on tomorrow, it's because power is down here in Norman and they're projecting all kinds of havoc tomorrow here in the great state of Oklahoma. But the guys out in California, man, and 40% of this state that was under drought warnings, it's been relieved. So congratulations to you out there. Your ponds are filling back up, your lakes are filling back up, and that's really good news. quick perusal of the headlines. The Trump battle with mainstream media continues to escalate. And folks, I see this as a very good thing. You know, as I've said from the very beginning, I've wondered how this whole thing is going to play out with Trump being the president. And I'm growing more and more encouraged because it appears as though, now, again, this is one of the great difficulties of talking about Donald Trump, because he'll make some good steps forward, but then he'll do something like appoint Jeff Sessions as the AG, and Sessions, you know, during his hearing the other day, said a couple things. One, he was going to fulfill the Supreme Court rulings. My assumption he means on abortion. He was asked directly about that, and he said, yes, I was going to obey the Supreme Court. And my guess is, because the Supreme Court's ruled on marriage now, he's going to obey that Supreme Court ruling. Apparently, he's also considering using enforcement mechanisms against Colorado for their recreational marijuana law that they passed. So Trump does some really good things, taking on media, taking on progressives, and then he does things, and we'll see what Jeff Sessions does. Maybe Trump pulls him under control. Who knows? Because Trump in the past has talked about Colorado in terms of federalism, and said if Colorado wants to legalize marijuana, that's a state issue. So we'll see how this whole thing goes. But it makes it very difficult to talk about this, because there's some really good things that are happening. I think this tangle with the media is a very, very good thing. It is having the net effect, in my view, of delegitimizing mainstream media. Folks, if we have any chance of making some progress here, it is going to be with the media having been delegitimized, because it is, you know, it hides under this. It cloaks itself in this idea. We're journalists, Kreslins. We are pristine. All we're doing is calling balls and strikes here. We're just reporting the news. No, they make it up. They are the fake news people. And Trump, yesterday during his press conference, he said something else I forgot to get to yesterday. He said, you know, most people don't have the mic that I have. I have the ability to fight back. Well, you know, there appears to be senior staff now are mixing it up with mainstream media more. Apparently, Kellyanne Conway got into it with Anderson Cooper. Well, this is good. This is a good thing. I was obviously concerned when I saw yesterday that Fox News came out saying they're going to back CNN on this, and it's all tied to this BuzzFeed CNN fiasco with this intelligence report, whether or not Trump was briefed, who's behind it. What's the agenda? You know, we're probably never going to answer all those questions. I had Greg Carpenter from Reverse Deception on yesterday, who is a veteran in the intelligence community, explaining, you know, intelligence reports, how they work, who might be behind this. I don't know that we're ever going to find all the answers we think, you know, we should be entitled to related to this report. But what we are finding is a couple of things. One is Trump is willing to steamroll the media. Also, he is willing to challenge the intelligence community. And I said probably, I don't know, maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, that we'll really know how serious Trump is when it comes to draining the swamp. If he ends up going after the intelligence community, and to see how aggressive he has been in calling these guys out is really quite remarkable. I can't say that I would have thought he would have done this. It was hard for me to imagine any president, you know, all the way back to Eisenhower, who identified properly the problems with the vast military-industrial complex, the intelligence community. It's a big risk. He's taking a very big risk. And let's be honest, at least in my view, the intelligence community must be dealt with. They must be dealt with, because they are behind a great deal of the problems that we confront here in hashtag the exceptional American Union when it comes to the spy state, when it comes to privacy, when it comes to creating conflicts around the world. it's these guys that do this. And so it's really, to me, been quite remarkable to see, you know, how he has been willing to take this on. Now, you know, again, I'm wait and see like you are. I don't know, you know, exactly what is going to happen here. I think none of us can predict fully what is going to happen here. But out of the gate here, I've been pretty encouraged both on the media front and on the intelligence community front. And my hope is he'll take on the vast military-industrial complex at some point. And we're seeing that with the F-35. We'll see. I mean, I just want to tell you, I think we have a window here to bring about some real changes. And it won't necessarily be all because of Donald Trump. But I think he is kind of showing a map, if you will, that if we adopt it, some really incredible things could happen. So we'll continue to watch what's happening with Trump and the media and Trump and the intelligence community and see how that whole thing unfolds. And, you know, we'll get further clarity as we go forward. But I want to start off the program with a report that was over there on Breitbart.com. And the title of the report is Pew Report, Religion Plummeted in America During Obama's Era. And this is kind of tied to this window I think we might have in front of us. But I think we have to understand where we start. The article is written by Thomas D. Williams, Ph.D., dated today. In a new study of President Obama's legacy, the Pew Research Center found that religious affiliation and practice dropped off dramatically during his two terms in the White House. Quote, when it comes to the nation's religious identity, the biggest trend during Obama's presidency is the rise of those who claim no religion at all. Pew notes in a report released this week titled, How America Changed During Barack Obama's Presidency. You see, it's been my contention, I know Mike Church has shared the same thing, that this 8 years under Obama, but really progressive leftism, leftist ideology, is an anti-Christian ideology. The target has always been Christianity. And why wouldn't it be? Christianity brings about liberation. It brings about freedom. And if the progressive leftists want to do anything, they don't want to make you free. They want to control you. And let's be honest, Barack Obama was quite successful during his 8 years of attacking Christianity, making it seem silly. And now, is that completely the reason why we've seen this drop-off of religious identity in the hashtag exceptional American Union? Of course not, but it's part of the puzzle. And this report tries to ask these questions and figure out what did happen during the Obama administration that caused these really, when we get to this part of the report, significant changes. The article goes on, when Barack Obama took office, those who identified as atheist or agnostics, along with those who said their religion was, quote, nothing in particular, close quote, totaled only about 16% of the United States population. On leaving office eight years later, the non-religious in America now make up nearly a quarter of the population. Now stop and think about what a quarter of the population is. Let's say he's referring only to the adult population. So you're looking at, you know, roughly 220 million people. So a quarter of that is 50 million plus, really nearly 55 million people. So as we've been talking about this week, when we think about solutions and we get caught up in national solutions, some of those people who claim to be atheists or agnostics would convert to Christianity. But let's imagine that most of them won't, because that's probably statistically the reality. How do you integrate? How do you find one-size-fits-all solutions? How do you build bridges? How do you be a president to all people, all of the people, when fully 50 million of them reject a Christian ethos? How does that happen? And if they reject a Christian ethos, when I talk about here on the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, here on the Premium Crusade Channel on the Veritas Radio Network, when I talk about defending eternal transcendent truth, they don't believe in them. Well, how am I gonna deal with that? You see, earlier in the week, I talked about change is coming, and change is coming, but it's not probably the change we think needs to happen. Neither do I think it's change that can happen. So we tend to think we got to fix the nation, because that dirty little word nation trips us up all the time. It's got to be all 50 states are fixed or no, whatever fixed means. It's got to be all 50 states are fixed or no states are fixed. And as long as we continue on that trajectory, we get distracted from good change that actually could happen. Now, on the other hand, the progressives focus on the nation and the changes that they want to see occur have happened, are happening, and will continue to happen unless we change our strategy. If it's got to be all states or no states, good luck with that. I'll see you later. I'll be prepping up on Suzanne Sherman's acreage that she promised I could have an eighth of an acre of. I'm just going to check out of the whole thing. If we think we're going to fix this thing at whatever fixing it means, if we think we're going to fix it across all 50 states, this demographic, this report right here shows you, good luck with that. 50 some odd million people reject eternal transcendent truths. You can't pass a law to make people believe in eternal transcendent truths. You really can't even pass a law to make them obey it unless you're willing to kill them. And that's not, I can assure you, that's not going to market very well. Mr. Speaker, I put in H.R. 1922, a bill that authorizes the execution of all those who do not believe in eternal and transcendent truths unless they will sign a loyalty pledge to those concepts. How many votes is, if you were dumb enough to put that legislation in, that would be as far as it would ever go. So let's deal with reality. Let's deal with this Pew Research report. We've got probably somewhere in the order of 50 million people, adults, in this hashtag exceptional union that are either atheist, which is a very much a growing demographic, by the way, or agnostic. Now, we can dig in, and we will dig into the reasons why these changes have come. But let's just start out and assume that the Pew Research Company, which puts out pretty good data on demographic data, let's say their numbers are right. We went from 16% of the country that was agnostic or atheist up to a quarter of the adult population now. When you're dealing with 200 million people, for round numbers, that's 50 million. So are the other three, you honestly think the other three quarters of the country are militantly devoted to eternal and transcendent truths? No, there's probably a very small number of people in hashtag the exceptional American Union that are actually supportive of eternal transcendent truths. And then there's gradations in between the atheist agnostic, the 25%, and that small percent that actually embrace eternal transcendent truths. And so what, are we going to ask the other three quarters of the non-atheist agnostic group of people in the exceptional American Union to pass legislation to force those 50 million people to comply with our will? Good luck with that. I mean, you can embrace that as a strategy. I can tell you that it's going to go nowhere absolutely fast. So you can spend a lot of resources, time, thought, all that on something that can't be done. We have to remember, folks, those of us who embrace eternal transcendent truth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was on the planet at one point. They hung him on a cross. Now, I recognize theologically that had to happen. That had to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. But it wasn't like the people were cheering. Now, some were. Some followed him. But as we know the story, many abandoned him when he was in Gethsemane. We know the story of Peter there. So, transcendent eternal truths have not necessarily been all that popular throughout human history. Certainly from a Judeo-Christian ethos. There have been periods where it's been better than others, but we appear to be heading, as this exceptional American Union, into a darker period when it comes to this, unless we change our strategy. So back to the poll, or back to the report. On leaving office 8 years later, the non-religious in America now make up nearly a quarter of the population. On the contrary, the percentage of Americans who say they believe in God, consider religion to be very important in their lives, pray daily, and attend religious services at least monthly, have all dropped during the Obama years as well, Pew found. So this is my point. I think the people that are really committed to eternal and transcendent truths are a very small number of people. I don't think it's a very big group of people. I think even those who don't come out and say, I'm an atheist or an agnostic, they're just kind of occasional attenders. America's largest demographic, those who had self-identify as Christians, plunged from 78% of the U.S. population to 71% 8 years later, and the majority of those losses taking place among adults who identify with mainline Protestants and Catholic churches. Evangelical Protestantism, along with historically black Christian denominations, have remained comparably stable. During his 8 years as president, Obama nettled religious conservatives over and over with moves that seemed calculated to undermine religious liberty. Of course he did. According to Tim Schultz, president of the First Amendment Partnership, the Obama administration often viewed religion as an enemy standing in the way of their policy objectives. And he's got it exactly right. This is my opening comments. This has been and will continue to be a war against Christianity, against eternal and transcendent truths, against the Savior of the world. It has been a war, it continues to be the war, and it will always be the war until he returns. And so this Tim Schultz, president of the First Amendment Partnership, got it exactly right. The Obama administration often viewed religion as an enemy standing in the way of their policy objectives. You know, the first commandment says you shall have no other gods before me, but the Obama administration and progressive leftists and agnostics and atheists, they have a God. It is before Jehovah God. It is the state. It's what I talked about earlier in the week about the cult of liberalism. They nearly deify the state. They elevate it in people's minds to the point that it does provide for their basic sustenance. It is their future. Their future is dependent on the state. Now, sadly, most people don't think past the grave there for a moment. They don't stop and consider what happens at the end of my life as I've been fully devoted to the state. Well, one way to resolve that is you become an atheist, agnostic, and you come to believe that you go to the ground. You become fertilizer. And there is no soul. There is no afterlife. There is no eternity. And so you live heartily for the day. You live for the lower G God state, hoping that it will make your life better during your life, because you don't really have any appreciation for the end of it until you get to it. And let me tell you, I've been around almost 58 years now. My birthday is next month. And I have seen people live a certain life, the majority of their lives, and then near the end of it. And suddenly the reality of death takes over. As I've said in the show here a number of times before, the real answer to life is death. It's understanding we are here for but a short period of time. On average, 75 years. And we are born and then we leave. And everybody does it. Everybody follows that path. And I have seen people who have lived their life to the full as they understood it here, only to get to the end of life and start to realize, oh my, there might, what if there is more to this? Now, we are given the freedom during our lives to just reject all of it. As we now see, 25% of the adult population in America at some level has just rejected eternity. They rejected eternal transcendent truth. But I have seen people get to the end of it, and suddenly they're not so willing to reject it. They start getting scared. They start getting fearful of the unknown. Now, some overwhelm their mind and just plug ahead forward. Others begin to reflect and wonder, I wonder if my atheism was all that a good idea. Well, you know, certain times of their life, to them, it probably, you know, filled whatever objective they were trying to reach. If it was to have no authority in your life, well, then, you know, do away with ultimate authority. If it was to build some utopian heaven on earth so that you could, lay claim to your contribution to mankind, well, then you made the state, little g, a little g god.